Hi, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin.
And I'm Pastor Ryan.
And we're glad you're able to join us.
We look forward to diving into this past Sunday's sermon and other things that are going on in our world. We hope that you enjoy your time with us this week. Here we are another week, Pastor Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing well. You?
I'm doing well.
That's good to hear.
So great message on Sunday about generosity.
Thank you very much.
This has been a good series.
Yeah.
In a time where it's easy to not be generous because of the way the world is right now.
Yeah.
Remembering that call is there on our life.
Absolutely.
To live generously because we serve a generous God.
We serve a generous God. That's so right. True. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I thought Sunday was fun to preach.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a couple of takeaways that I could reiterate. One of them was the idea that Paul was giving his advice. I think that was a really important little statement that kind of set the tone for what was coming. Mm-hmm. And he'd already mentioned it before in the previous three or four verses that we looked at by saying, I'm not giving you a command.
Right.
This is not a command.
Yeah.
Then he moves in the second time. He says, now this is my advice for you, what I think is best for you, which you cannot force or command generosity.
That's right. Yeah.
Can't do it. Mm-hmm. You can only, I guess, make it so tantalizing.
Yeah.
If you want to call it that.
Right.
I mean, the context is obviously money. Mm-hmm. Like it really, truly is.
Right.
It's money. Yeah. He's collecting money for the poverty stricken, suffering church in Jerusalem.
Right.
And he's trying to get the church in Corinthians to participate because they said they would.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So he wasn't trying to, you got to help.
Right. He's not twisting their arm.
They already said, we want to help. We want to be a part of this. But then they lost their, their jam.
Right.
they had generosity interrupted.
Yes.
So now he's trying to get them back on track, and he doesn't want to make it sound like he's commanding them to give because he wants it to be so generous because of who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
But the words and the concepts he used are much bigger than just money.
Definitely.
So you use it for money and you start maybe the conversation at money, but you must go broader, wider, higher, deeper. We've been chatting about it. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But, you've got this idea. First of all, he says, First, he says that here's what happened to the church in Macedonia.
Right.
So the Macedonian churches got together. And it's interesting because he very clearly says they devoted themselves to God first.
Right.
And then out of their poverty, they gave.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pulls this big gun out in the next section.
Yeah.
And he says, be like Jesus, who was for our sakes became poor.
Mm-hmm.
He went into poverty for our sakes.
Yeah.
So that through his poverty, we might become rich.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not talking about money there.
No, not at all.
Well, I mean, it could be money. I mean, there could be richness that way. But it's obviously much, much bigger than money. And it becomes then a broader principle of following the super abounding, gracious work of God through Jesus in our lives. And you can go to the Gospels and see that super abundance.
Yeah.
And I think I picked apart the feeding of the 5,000. I don't think there's any more bones.
Yeah.
I think it's been well stripped.
Yes.
Nothing but just leftovers now.
Right.
Literally
about 12 baskets.
Yeah, about 12 baskets. Yeah. So the first time we talked about, we looked at the baskets.
Right.
Why the baskets?
Yeah.
Why the extra?
Right.
Because it's just the superabundance of God. But then you look at how it came about. God wants to draw us into meeting needs.
That's right.
And so he invited the disciples to help. And they were like, what?
We don't have enough.
Where can we go buy? Well, how about a math equation instead, Jesus?
Right.
We couldn't have a whole month's worth of wages couldn't pay for all this food. That's not what I asked you. But then, Andrew steps forward and says, here's this little boy's lunch. I said on Sunday, I hope they did it properly.
Right.
Hey, give me that lunch,
kid. You kid, give me a lunch.
You're just a kid. Give me that lunch. So there's no details there.
No.
I'm sure it did. I'm sure he offered it or something came about where he said, here's my lunch.
Right.
And you just think, now here is this little boy generously giving everything he had.
Mm-hmm.
He gave his whole lunch.
That's right.
All the fish,
yeah.
Two of them, mm-hmm. all the loaves, seven of them or five of them or whatever it was. Yeah. And he gave it to Jesus, mm-hmm. right? So then he takes that and he multiplies it so huge. Can mm-hmm. you imagine that kid going forward in life, knowing that Jesus stole his lunch? I took his lunch. took his lunch and fed thousands and thousands of people.
Including that little boy.
Including like that, the that little boy.
Didn't go without.
He didn't go that without. In fact, he probably had more for lunch right? than he would have had if he just went with his own little lunch.
Right.
So you can see that God is trying to pull us away from our selfish mm-hmm. inclinations. And the only way that can happen is through resurrection life. You,
that's right.
I mean, you can be good and you can be philanthropic or whatever that word is.
Yeah. Philanthropic.
Philanthropic. You can be one of those guys. You know, you can have billions and give millions, which right. is really pennies yeah. to a billionaire. Mm-hmm. So you can do all that, but not out of the generosity of the resurrected life of Christ. Right. You're going to come short mm-hmm. because it's going to become all about you. Really, right. that's what's yeah. going to happen. Mm-hmm. Whereas this kind of generosity is not about you,
yeah.
right? So that was kind of the fun part of teaching that. Mm-hmm. But then he came up with another blast from the Old Testament mm-hmm. that God has in his kingdom. He has set it up so that truly we are all treated the same. Mm-hmm. That's his passion.
Yeah.
There's kings and there's beggars
right.
in God's kingdom. And everybody is the same. Mm-hmm. Everyone is yeah. treated
absolutely
the same.
Yeah.
Whether you have much or whether you have little mm-hmm. doesn't matter.
Right.
So we truly are all in this together. Yeah. It's the one little place on planet Earth
right.
called the church where our aspiration is totally to be in this together.
That's right.
So unlike the world's fake idea of we're all in this together, where the rich right. get richer and the poor get poorer,
yeah.
this truly is what God has called us to. So he pulls out the big guns from the mm-hmm. book of Exodus, where the manna fell and mm-hmm. how everybody was supposed to gather, but everybody had what they needed at the end yeah. of the day. And the proof was that if you decided to hoard, by the next morning, it had turned to worms and stunk.
Worms and stunk, yeah.
I think it's so, I mean, God is so clever with how
he
creates these scenarios, right?
Yeah.
So if you try to hoard, if you try to take too much for yourself, mm-hmm. it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so then the best thing to do is to share.
Yeah.
So that everybody walks away with the same amount. Because the next morning, you're back to ground one. You're back to ground zero.
Yeah.
You start at over. The same place as everybody else.
Yeah.
Because the next morning, manna fell.
Mm-hmm.
So it was such a fantastic sort of lesson from the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. Eh?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
And even, you know, thinking about the early church where it says they had all things in common.
Yeah.
And you had people selling fields, like Barnabas
yep.
sold a field.
Yep.
So that those that didn't have yeah. could be provided for.
Right.
Like, it's a beautiful picture.
It is.
And we all find ourselves in those different stages, I think, at different points where mm-hmm. sometimes we have plenty.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're in need. And the amazing thing about the church is that we come alongside each other mm-hmm. and we are there for each other when we're in need. And yeah. we have that peace knowing, you know, the church is there for me. If I have a need, if I fall on hard times, the church is going to be there to help me and support
right.
me.
Yeah. So it is to and fro. Mm-hmm. Like, when I give, I know that I'm helping.
Right.
And one day I may need to be helped.
Right. Definitely.
So it all comes back around. And again, that's God's design. That's how yeah. he wants it. Mm-hmm. And from way back, like, this yeah. is not a new thing. This is coming all the way back from the Exodus
right.
of Israel. So that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And the idea of God not showing favoritism, it's all kind of in the same package.
Yeah.
Nobody, the rich don't get a special spot in church and the poor have to sit in the back or out in the foyer somewhere.
Right.
You know, everybody is treated equal here. Mm-hmm. We are all and we all come to the cross. It's level there.
That's right.
Nobody gets special access to yeah. the cross over someone else. Right. It's all come to the cross. Mm-hmm. You all die equally
right.
to yourself. right. And exactly. that's really the bottom line.
And that's, yeah.
Yeah. And it has to be that way, not mm-hmm. just with your money. So again, the context was money.
Right.
But as soon as he goes big, mm-hmm. he grabs manna. That's not about money.
Right.
That's about a principle of having enough to share. If God mm-hmm. puts a need in front of you, help.
Right. Definitely.
If you can. Like, and that's yeah. what Paul's teaching was. Mm-hmm. I'm not forcing anybody to do anything.
Right.
Or to do more than you have.
Right. You don't have to give to every single solitary opportunity you see.
No.
I
just
mean,
just
going grocery shopping. Would yeah. you like to give to this?
Yeah,
you don't right. have to give to everything.
No, you don't.
But when God calls you to give,
mm-hmm.
that's
you have a generous nature.
That's right.
Because it's in you to give, right? Because he has put all of that in you.
Yeah.
So it becomes a life of leaning on God, looking to him higher, living out broadly, looking after others, and sinking ourselves deep in the love of God. So living deeply in Christ and in the Spirit.
That's right.
And that's kind of what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, so this has been topic of conversation for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah,
I know we've chatted about it a couple of times. It came up, and why don't you share a bit?
Yeah.
Where did this start? Where?
Well, we were praying together as elders in our church, and we had a little sort of half-day retreat kind of thing. And we had been talking about how it was so funny how God works stuff out, right? We were talking about how can we be Christ? How can we display Christ? How can we show Christ, not only among ourselves, but also into the community at large? How do we do that without getting political, without getting off wild tangents, without, you know, demanding our rights or whatever? How do we do that to be the fragrance, to be the fragrance of Christ? And it just so happened that one of the elders had brought me a gift from Israel. Like, I was surprised. I don't know how he got it. And maybe he had it for a while, but it was this bottle of frankincense and myrrh mixed. And when you took the cap off that and you, the whole place, the whole foyer where we were meeting,
was amazing.
That lingered around that table for, you know, I don't know, an hour where we could kind of have that fragrance. But then after a while, I think you get used to it and it's gone.
Yeah.
But that first thing was so obvious, the fragrance of Christ. And it became, for me, it became kind of the focus of our prayers. And we started to pray, and then one fellow prayed in some tongues, and then another guy interpreted it, and it was the Spirit of God. And it was saying, reach higher, go wider, sink deeper. Like, higher. Yeah. He just said, he didn't say all that. He just said, three words have come to me. Higher, wider, deeper. And so we thought, okay, how do we, is this, you know, is this from the Lord? Well, yeah, it sent, we sensed it was. There was a genuine sense of that. So, but how does that play out now? So was it good just for us in the meeting? Which definitely was. It was encouraging. Is it something that we as pastors now can bring forward to the church in messages, in Bible studies for youth group, for children's ministry? Like, how do we bring this forward now? And the idea that I see in my head from that conversation, how do we be the fragrance of Christ? How do we demonstrate his love to not only those around us in the fellowship, but also to the world around us who are desperately in need of it. And you have to see yourself as reaching high. You want to go up to God.
That's right.
And look to him, hands up, like I've got my hands up. You guys can't see out there in radio land, but I've got, you know, reaching out to God. But it's never only a two-way street between you and God. If it's connecting with God, it must come down to this level and go wider.
That's right.
Right. But then as you're going wide, you find that you come, you become depleted. So you must sink deeper into the Spirit, into the work of God in your life to find the sustenance, the strength to be broad because you've connected with the high. And he's shown you what you must do. So these are some of my thoughts. I don't know how did you interpret it? How did you see, or what is your spirit kind of picking up on some of the cues?
And, you know, even just as we're talking, I'm reminded of that passages in 2 Corinthians, you know, how he leads us in triumphal procession that we may spread the fragrance of him wherever we go. And that's something you spoke about at the elders retreat, that you know, your desire to see your life and the church and your family spread the fragrance of Christ wherever we go. It's again, recognizing who we are in Christ, that higher who am I in Christ? Well, he leads me in triumphal procession. I am a child of God. I am led in victory.
I had to cough.
And the result of that is us spreading the fragrance, is this interconnectedness that you don't separate higher, wider, deeper, but they're all three connected with one another, that as we reach higher, as we're drawn higher to God, it leads us to reach out. And all of it leads us to sinking deeper and rooting more and more in Christ. That idea of, you know, when Jesus talks about in John, you know, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But when we are connected to him, when we are sinking deeper into him, finding in him the source of our strength and our hope, then we produce fruit. We spread the fragrance of him.
Yeah. Instead of the fear.
That's right.
Anxiety.
Yeah.
Lack of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
The sort of that unstable mind that it's sort of double minded.
Mm-hmm.
You're unstable in everything because you're not focusing on Christ. Really.
That's right.
You're the blinders on the horse.
Yeah.
Staring at Jesus rather than all the other, the stuff that's out there is really quite amazing.
Yeah.
There's so much information and not all of it's good.
Yeah. And it's, you know, where in the scripture it talks about, you know, we need to be mature so that we aren't tossed to and fro by every wave.
Yeah.
Because right now there's a lot of waves going on in our world.
Yes.
And it is so easy to be tossed to and fro. It's so easy to be distracted, to be discouraged, to be consumed by fear, by these things.
Right.
And if our eyes aren't on Christ, if we aren't rooted in him, then these things are going to knock us off.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think some of the response of the church has been unhelpful that way.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been focused on Jesus.
Yeah.
It hasn't been focused on his sweet fragrance
mm-hmm.
that just fills the room with a sense of his presence, that that fills the relationship, that fills where we're going, what we're doing with a sense of his presence.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, what's there is animosity and fear and drawing lines in the sand and anti this and pro that. And you can get so carried away. And you know what? You'll always find a YouTube preacher to support what you're thinking.
Absolutely.
Or maybe even instigate what you're thinking. You know? So you've got to get into the word yourself, stay focused, stay close to those who you love and bounce your ideas off. Sure. I mean, it's a free country. You should be able to discuss this stuff.
Right.
But at the same time, only as a peripheral.
That's right.
It should always be off the edge of your plate somewhere.
Yeah.
And the focus of the main meal is Jesus and his fragrance. And how am I demonstrating that? By reaching higher, moving wider by my influence and sinking my heart deep into his love.
Yeah.
I think we want to try and do something in our Sunday morning services that reflects that.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to decide, like, how does it work and how do we do it with the schedule we have? And, you know, I mean, there's a few, excuse me, there's a few things that are in the way of us getting there. But I think we can put something together.
Yeah.
And trust that the Spirit's going to use it to encourage his people.
That's right.
Right. Stay focused. Stay that. Let that fragrance out.
Absolutely.
You know, and if it becomes about you, then it's not his fragrance anymore.
Right.
You know, if you're like strong on a certain position, well, it's all about you then.
That's right.
But how is it about Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Like, get the conversation going that way.
Right.
Instead of other ways that can become so distracting and so divisive and not just drenched in the peace, the Prince of Peace, the peace that passes understanding that guards your heart and mind from some of that stuff. And while you're entitled to your opinions and research and whatever else, make sure it never becomes the focus, that it's always Jesus, him and him alone.
That's right. Yeah, because you think about those things. Are they getting in the way of my walk with Christ? And are they getting in the way of me sharing Christ with others?
Yeah.
Because if those things become a stumbling block for the gospel, if those things, those peripheral issues now stand in the way of me sharing the gospel with my neighbor, then that's a pretty big issue.
No,
because that's our mandate. Yep. That is our commission to go and spread the gospel to all nations. And if we allow COVID and vaccines or masks or no masks get in the way of us sharing the gospel, then those things have become much bigger of an issue than they ever should be.
Yeah. I've been kind of thinking of it as larger than life, right?
Yeah.
Is your life lived out larger than the life around you?
Right.
Because eternal life is bigger than just life.
Yep.
Like, you know, breathing in and out is life. But I'm talking about life as in eternal life.
Yeah.
Indestructible life. Mm-hmm. Is your life larger than the life that's happening around you?
Yeah.
And how do you, like, how do I go about making sure that that is what I'm up to? By reaching higher, going wider, and drawing deeper, I demonstrate a life that is larger than the life that's happening around me. And that's why I think we want to go to Romans chapter 8 when we talk about this stuff.
Yes.
Because how do you be more than a conqueror in a society that is completely depleted mm-hmm. of its sense of well-being, sense of worth, sense of, I mean, fear is everywhere.
Yeah.
A lack of peace everywhere. Relationships divided, households divided over stuff mm-hmm. that's just sort of peripheral.
Yeah.
How do we live larger than that? How mm-hmm. do we be more than conquerors? Like, that's why I like that word or that phrase, more right. than a conqueror. Because if you conquer something, you conquered it.
Yeah.
How do you be more than that?
Right.
And I think what that's saying is look at God's larger life.
Yeah.
And are you living it out?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, we have like an example in Romans 8. We maybe will draw from Esther,
mm-hmm.
whose life had to be lived out larger
right.
than the life that was going on around her.
Yeah.
And her and Mordecai together, Uncle Mordecai, right? working it out together.
Yeah.
You know, who knows whether you've come to the palace for such a time as this.
Yeah,
definitely. And again, it's almost as if he's saying to all of us that we're planted here. This is our time.
That's right.
This is our time to shine. We don't get, the past is gone, and we right. certainly don't get to know what's happening in the future. No. And our generation will come and go.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm turning 60 in 2 years. So I'm feeling like, well, actually less than 2 years. Yeah. I'm feeling like an old man. So is my time done? No. I mean, I feel like I'm just getting into the prime of it here.
Right.
But I want to live larger than the life around me.
That's
how
right.
do I do it?
Yeah.
If I'm not focused on Christ,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how you do that.
Yeah. You know, when you were talking about Romans 8 and
yeah.
I joked earlier that the sermon series should be called So What?
So What?
Because it talks about in the latter part of that chapter, you know, what can separate us from the love of Christ?
Yeah.
Can any of these other things? No, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. It even goes into, you know, we're, you know, as the scriptures say, for your sake, we're killed every day.
I know.
We're being slaughtered like sheep.
Okay.
So what?
Yeah. All right.
Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Like, it doesn't say we're not going to face these things. It doesn't say we're not going to be slaughtered. It doesn't say we're not going to have to go through trials and hardships. We're not going to have to go through COVID and government restrictions and all of that.
But so what?
Exactly. So what?
So what?
Because again, what we're called to is so much higher, so much wider, and so much deeper than any of these other worldly issues.
Yeah, I agree. I think what has happened is maybe there's been a revealing.
Mm-hmm.
There's been maybe a lot of revealing, not only in my own life, but I think in the life of the church in general, there's been a revealing of its shallow nature.
Mm-hmm.
The wind of adversity has knocked a lot of people off their course. And we don't want that. We want to stay the course. We want the wind of adversity to actually propel us into greater things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I see here too, is the same thing. If I have a mindset that my life and my death is in God's hands, I march forward.
That's right.
You know, I do what I can.
Yeah.
If I get to take the medicines that are recommended or the vaccines that are recommended, I do it because I'm marching forward.
That's right.
If I don't take the medications and I don't take the vaccinations that are being offered, I do it because I'm moving forward.
Right.
In Jesus.
Yeah.
And it, the bigger picture is what matters, the more than conquerors.
Right.
And if I see what I understand this to be at a quick read, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger with the sword, pestilence, let's throw that in there.
Yeah.
You know, we face death anyway. So what? So we all die.
So
I die a little sooner than I, you know, you're kind of threatening me with a quick trip to Disneyland. Is that kind of, no, because where we're going is way better. And we just live out our lives with that sense of fear of death gone.
Yeah.
Because the perfect love of Christ casts out all fear.
That's right.
And fear is the presence of a thinking that you're going to be punished.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what God is all about.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
More of this to come, I think.
Yes, definitely.
I think we're going to run out of time if we keep going. But I think I'm pretty sure we're going to crack this open.
I think so.
We'll see where it takes us.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. And the challenge, I think, for all of us. Am I going higher? Am I going deeper? Am I reaching wider?
Yeah. 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 True enough. I think we need to keep that forefront for a bit and let it maybe percolate in our heads a bit more as to what that looks like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, looking forward to it.
Me too.
And yeah. More to come.
More to come.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.